Today we're going to talk about a very important topic. What is Russia's goal in Ukraine? We hear a lot in the media about what the goal is. I think there's a lot more to the actions of Russia and Putin specifically in regard to Ukraine than what we've heard in the media, and we're going to go over some of that today. Let's jump into this first article right here. It's from Zero Hedge. It's about G7, and they're accusing Russia of engaging in a geopolitically motivated attack on global food security. So as you've all heard, it's hard for the grain to come out of Ukraine to feed the world, so we're hearing about global food shortages. And I think if this is what the G7 really thinks, I think that we're in a world of trouble, because what they should know is this is one of the whole points of Russia's attack on Ukraine. This isn't about conquering territory in and of itself. It's about something much, much deeper. It's about the alignment of nations. It's about global trade. It's about the world's dominant currency. It's about power, pure power, through multiple levels. And control of food is one of those things. We know that Russia has a lot of grain. They are a breadbasket to the world. They're one of the leading exporters of wheat. You put them together with Ukraine, and you have an exporting powerhouse when it comes to agricultural commodities. So what is Russia's true goal in Ukraine? I think we need to come to this quote by Henry Kissinger. He said, "Control oil and you control nations. Control food and you control the people. And I would add, control money and you control the world." That is the ultimate goal of Russia and their invasion of Ukraine. It's what Putin is doing here. This is a calculated move on his part to take greater power for Russia. I think that if you think about it and you study the headlines, you'll see that he's been in collaboration with China from the very beginning on this. That's my personal opinion anyway. But let's go back and look at this quote and think about control oil and you control nations. Is that true? Well, we're seeing it play out right now in the EU. So the European Union is heavily dependent on natural gas, oil, coal, anything fossil fuel related coming out of Russia for their energy. If that energy is taken away, their economy collapses. People freeze over the wintertime. People starve. Russia knows that. And they knew that they had that power when they made this move. And I would argue that Putin understood what the response from the United States, NATO, and its allies would be, and how they would push these sanctions on Russia, freeze Russia's foreign reserves. And I believe that this was all part of Vladimir Putin's plan, which is to create a new system. There's multiple facets to this plan that he has. I believe one of them is to try to break up NATO. So think about it. You've got NATO, which really in large part in terms of the military is the United States. But then it's also composed of all of these countries in Europe, and nobody's speaking with a single voice. You've got Joe Biden has his thoughts. Macron has his thoughts. Germany has their thoughts. Poland, Latvia, everybody's trying to speak separately to Russia on this issue. And then here's a key point is Turkey. Let's look at Turkey. So right now, Turkey is dealing with 80% inflation, and they are heavily dependent and have been for years in the past on Ukraine for a good portion of their food supply. That means now they are dependent on Russia for that food supply. And that inflation would get out of control and possibly fuel revolution if they do not get the food that they need. So who has the power in regard to Turkey right now? NATO? the United States, do they have influence with Turkey compared to Russia? I would argue that Russia has the upper hand, and they know that. And you can see that in the way that Turkey is acting in relation to new entrants into NATO, and then to really from the beginning not condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine, acting in a different voice from the rest of NATO. And so, again, from Putin's standpoint, he's looking at this and saying, I have a chance here to really possibly break up NATO, which would be a huge strategic victory for Russia. What else could this mean? Well, again, we talked about the food supply. So Turkey isn't the only nation really heavily dependent on Ukraine. We've also got Egypt, Lebanon, a number of nations in Africa. Nations all over the world import food from Ukraine, from Russia. And Russia has made it clear that they will provide food to friendly nations. Unfriendly nations, if they do get that food, if they do get oil, if they do get other natural resources, they're going to have to pay in rubles. But if you're a friendly nation, you can pay in your home currency or the currency of your choice. This is an outright play to draw nations into their orbit, into their influence, so that they can be controlled. And so, in the end, we see, well, what is this really about? It's about power, pure and simple. It's about controlling oil and natural resources, controlling food and agricultural resources. It's about currency, and it's about exacting power over other nations in the world and breaking down the power of the United States and NATO. So let's look at this next article, which appeared in Newsweek. And this says, as NATO grows, China and Russia seek to bring Iran, Saudi Arabia into the fold. So what is this about? Well, if you've been reading the news, you'll see that the BRICS nations, so that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and now they're trying to bring Iran and Saudi Arabia into that fold, have discussed setting up their own commodity-backed currency based on a basket of commodities, whether that's agricultural commodities, gold, silver, oil. The details haven't been worked out yet. This hasn't happened yet. But by shutting off the foreign reserves of Russia, as our sanctions did after following the invasion of Ukraine, every nation in the world realized that they are beholden to the United States and the Euro dollar, the European Union and the United States, and that they could have their foreign reserves cut off at a moment's notice if they go from the friendly category, the unfriendly category. So what's that going to make them do? Well, it's going to make them say, we want to hold gold, and we want to hold it in our own country, and we want to hold actual commodities, physical commodities, that can't be inflated away by a printing press, which we've seen nations doing over the past couple of years. And so they're going to be drawn into this alliance that says we will pay you with actual commodities, not pieces of paper or promises, but if you give us oil, we'll give you gold, or if you give us wheat, we'll give you oil. So they've talked about creating this, and how does this play into the Western dominance of the financial system and the United States and its allies and their control of the financial system, the use of the dollar in international trade. The dollar is the world's reserve currency. This could really dent that significantly. Following the U.S. pulling the dollar off of the gold standard back in August 1971, a couple of years later, we go back to Henry Kissinger. He was working under President Nixon at the time, and he went to Saudi Arabia and said, in exchange for the United States guaranteeing your security with our vast military, we want you to sell only your oil only in U.S. dollars. And that led to what's commonly called the petrodollar, where oil is priced around the world in U.S. dollars, and it's led to the U.S. dollar remaining the world's reserve currency, the primary currency in which world trade is conducted. So, and then that's put some of these other nations like Russia and China in a position where they are really beholden to the United States, and they're at the mercy of the dollar. So to break free of that, they're looking to set up their own system. So who better to do that? We've got Russia, who has, next to the United States, they are the world's dominant nuclear power. No other nations are close to the United States and Russia when it comes to nuclear power, and nuclear weapons specifically is what I'm talking about. And so Russia has a vast amount of natural resources. They have oil, natural gas, coal, lumber, precious metals, nickel, you know, all the industrial metals that would be used, all the raw materials of the world. They are the world's premier superpower when it comes to raw materials. If they join together with China, you have the world's possibly number one manufacturing powerhouse. And the two of them together, along with, now we see India, and they're talking about bringing Saudi Arabia into that mix, this would create really a rival to the United States and its allies, and almost bifurcate the international monetary system, the international finance system, and totally transform global trade. And it would move power away from the United States and its allies and toward Russia, China, and these BRICS nations. So you would ask, what are the prophetic implications of all of this? Well, there's several of those as well. As we talked about, Turkey could be drawn away from NATO and into Russia's orbit. And as you know, if you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, Turkey is a key player in that Russian alliance that invades Israel. So this could help lead to that. It could also embolden Russia to one day undertake that, because it would give them immense power, and they would see another chance to come and take the natural resources of the Middle East if Israel and the United States and its allies are out of the way. It could also lead to the breakup of NATO, as we mentioned earlier. And if that happens, how does Europe guarantee its security? Well, instead of relying on the United States, they would have to rely on themselves. And that could very well lead to greater integration of the European Union, the establishment of a EU army, and one that could potentially one day rival all of these surrounding nations. The Bible tells us that one day the EU, or the countries that form it currently, are going to dominate the entire globe, and they're going to do that not just militarily, but financially, in every way possible. So the prophetic implications here are clear. I think a lot of the mainstream press on this is really missing the mark when they focus on solely Ukraine. This is we're really in a world war right now. It's not a hot war, it's set in the area of Ukraine, but we're seeing cyber attacks. I think, you know, it's not a mere coincidence that the LNG port in Galveston all of a sudden has a fire and can't operate, when that's the largest exporter of liquefied natural gas from the United States over to Europe, and therefore not in the interest of Vladimir Putin and Russia, and all of a sudden it catches fire and goes down. I think that's probably the result of a cyber attack by Russia. We've seen similar cyber attacks against food processors in the United States and elsewhere around the world. We've also seen fires magically take place in Russian facilities as well. So I think there's an ongoing cyber war very likely occurring right now. There's obviously a supply chain war that we see going on right now. So there's many levels on which this war is being fought that aren't necessarily bullets at the moment flying back and forth, but it's being fought financially. It's being fought on the commodities front, on the supply chain front. And, you know, where this leads remains to be seen. But I think that this is the true goal of why Russia invaded Ukraine, was to facilitate this transition to take on the United States and its power and its allies and move them out of the way and at least have a bifurcated world economy, if not a world economy that is soon dominated by Russia, China, and its allies.